Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, welcome back in. 11 o'clock hour on a Tuesday edition of the show. Out at J. Shepherd Cigars, I am Louis Rabot, Rabot & Co., ESPN 680, 105.7. Got you till noon. Bobby V after us, roundtable 3 o'clock. Got you local till 6 o'clock, of course. The man to my left will be on 3 to 5 ahead of Louisville baseball. That'll be on at 5 o'clock first pitch tonight. So likely a 4:50 start time for that. You're probably out of what, 4:40, 4:45 today, Mark Ennis, on the drive. You can catch him over there 3 to 5, usually 3 to 6, of course.
Two fast hours just reading transfer portal names. That's all we're doing, right? That's all this is.
Welcome into Transfer Portal Talk. Hang it out. Rod Flatter right next to me. Mike Gandolfo, end of the table. How about that?
I think he should do five tight minutes on doctor weights. I think that would be something he could do just to, you know, to kind of fill the five tight minutes. Yeah.
Let's go. Well, everybody just got their cigars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we impressed with the presentation and the cigars
I'm
and
very happy.
All of these
very,
things?
Very happy.
I mean, making Mike Gandolfo happy is one of the hardest things on the planet, I have to say.
That's what my wife says.
Brings a rich meaning to the term happy ending.
That's right.
It sure does. All four guys hanging out today over here, 1429 Bardstown Road. I'll be hanging out till about 1230, 1245 if you need to run by around lunchtime. Come meet Jason and, of course, all the events going on here ahead of Derby next week, one of my very favorite times of the year. The sun is out. It feels like spring.
Mm-hmm.
I like these cool mornings. Reminds me of the early morning. Your jacket's on for the workouts, but then it's not to do the show. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to be out there next week. Announce our plans because we actually have them now. We'll be on 10 to noon Monday through Thursday. We'll be in the barns. We'll be on the backside Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. What's up?
Wait, between 10 and noon. Oh, that's because that's when you're on.
Yeah.
Yes. It's sort of you get to see the TV anchors taking off their makeup as you're showing up.
And it's actually really perfect because we can
men
see
and
the,
women.
We get to see the horses work out. We'll get some sound. We'll get some guests lined up. And
usually people are done working at 10, so they can actually jump on the radio.
So that's a good time for us.
Separate turf training. Yeah, you got that.
That's right. So we'll be out there 10 to noon Monday through Wednesday backside, 10 to noon on Thurby. Mike and I will be up in 322, so come. That's the day. We'd love to meet as many people as possible. Come say hi in 322. Friday. 3 hours, 10 to 1. Saturday, 3 hours, 11 to 2. We'll be in 322 for both of those. Doing the six-hour shift this year. We haven't done 6 hours of radio, Mike, in a couple of years.
Man, back since the E.J. Clark days.
I am not worried about it. I think we're going to have a blast. I'll be hanging out on that Thursday as well. I'll be on Mark's show for at least part of it on Thursday, up in 322. So please, 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 I mean it. Come by and say hi. I love meeting people out of the track.
Why didn't they call it Derb's Day instead of Thurby? Thurby sounds like something that, you
sounds
know.
Sounds like Furby.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like the toy.
Why is it Derb's Day?
Hey, you know why? Because 65,000 people are going to show up this year, and they got it right. That's why.
It's the local day right now. I mean, I guess.
I think
Tuesday's becoming the local day.
It is. I'm
going
to be out there Tuesday. I'll be out there Thursday.
Tuesday. Yeah.
Wednesday's the only day I won't be out there.
I think
we're
making good progress towards the entire city having the entire week off.
We're getting really
close. Maybe by the end of my life.
God bless them.
It'll just be a whole holiday.
Hey, where do you go? All right. Where do you go to eat after the Derby?
The Chow Wagon.
But what if you're there? What if you're still stuck and you're trying to get somewhere and you're waiting for the bus lines and all that? Where do you wind up going? Because a lot of times it's not the places aren't open or they're slammed.
They're slammed and you're getting dinner late. I mean, you're gonna by the
That's
time
the
you get
thing.
Somewhere, you're gonna be 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and you're lucky if places open.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make your reservations now, right? So I mean, that's where it is. And
if they're open,
they'll be open. I mean, people listen. There's money there, right? So they're gonna be open. They're gonna be open later than they normally would. But the Yeah, it's tough.
Reminder, our coverage next week. I should mention who's actually paying for it.
Yes.
Because they're very nice people. Horseshoe Indianapolis, the folks at Caesars, want to thank them for jumping on with us next week. Want to thank Mays Plastic Surgery and MedSpa. New location. Do you pronounce it as Exley? Is that how we say the name?
Sure.
Does anyone in this town actually
Exley.
Know?
Exley's right.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. You didn't have to do that, but it was a good radio gig. I appreciate it. obviously, we're going to be hanging out with the Kentucky HBPA. So KYHBPA.com. Make sure you get in with them. Tons of great articles. They keep up on everything ahead of the Derby
as
well.
It's different than the AHBA. That was Garth Brooks, right?
Chris Gaines?
No.
Someone just threw something at the radio that I mentioned his alter ego. People hate that guy.
That's
it's fascinating.
I'm excited about
it. Country reference. You like that, huh?
Yeah, go with country reference.
How about that? And so there you go. Hanging out with those
three
groups next week. All right. So he missed yesterday's show to go to something down in the.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's more where it's sunny.
Yeah. But by the way, have you all seen this weather forecast right now for Derby and Oaks? It looks the early.
Why are we doing this?
Okay.
Why are we doing this?
I don't want to.
Ron, will you just hit him? He's sitting next to you. Will you just hit him?
Listen, we're on the cover
weather,
no matter what.
Just do it
11
anyway.
Days out.
There you go.
It looks really good, though.
You can't tell.
That was
a
vicious hit there, Ron.
You mentioned Horseshoe Indianapolis.
I did. You were up there for the eclipse.
I gave him the old, quit it. I did.
I almost said the eclipse.
Oh, you like. No, all right. Horseshoe Indianapolis.
Yes, sir.
The predictions 11 days before the eclipse looked horrible.
That is true.
It looked like, oh my God, it's going to be cloudy, and you know, it'll get dark before it gets dark, right? It was fine. It was fine.
I got to tell you,
you don't know.
There are two different clubs as far as scheduling in horse racing. There's the new club of Horseshoe Indianapolis. It's like, oh, there's going to be an eclipse. We're open.
Yeah, we're open.
Right? We're open. And then there's Aqueduct, who's like, what is it? Columbus Day? Cool, we're running.
Right.
It's that, right? It's literally horse racing has the two. That's
it's the two. And by the way, and by the way,
I'm not mad about the Columbus Day cards. I play them. It is what it is.
Well, you know, we won't invite you to the parade on Fifth Avenue next year. You remember the only person who got the weather right during Justify's run to the Triple Crown? Because all the weather forecasts were wrong here in Louisville and in Baltimore and in New York. Only one person got it right.
Who?
Bodie Baffert.
He predates Brady Brom.
I'm serious. He was
the
only one who got it right.
He was Brady Brom of horse racing.
Bodie Meister.
There you go.
Well,
Bodie.
Yeah. Well, they're all from Bodie Miller. That was called that all.
Hey, I want you three to talk to me, who is not a junkie for horse racing, about how funny that Churchill Downs statement was about the lawsuit.
Oh, that
there.
Was snarky.
It was very snarky.
That was Leon Lett going into the end zone. Are you serious? You know, Amr Zidan has gotten Derby fever.
Derby
it's clearly fever. Overcome him. And that's going to come back and bite them in the ass one day,
I think.
You
think so?
I really do.
In
and
what
by
way?
The way, there. Well, for one thing, there's an appeal process going on right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and look, I think it's a Hail Mary, and I would say if you took the odds that Zidan will win that case and parlayed them into any UAE Derby horse to win the Kentucky Derby, you get 1,000 to 1.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay? I mean, it's just... But it's lawyers and judges, and it all takes is one judge.
That's right.
To spin this on a dime, and then all of a sudden, all right, are we going to get the return o snark from Zidan? And I mean, no, I just think that was I. Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs has been telling us throughout the course of this dispute between Zidan / Baffert and Churchill Downs that really, in essence, it's better than this. That statement was not better than this. That's my feeling.
You're punching down, right?
That's
exactly right. Yeah, I think that's the problem. But they did kind of punch down. They did. They
it seemed very personal to someone who's like not sort of.
It was
soaked
extraordinarily.
It was snarky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
it was
does it happen if John Asher's alive?
But does it?
Does it happen if John Asher's alive?
Hell no! And by the way, I'd love to know who actually wrote that. Really, that
I don't think
statement.
Darren wrote it. I mean, I don't think. That
no,
happened.
I don't think anybody in PR
obviously
did.
Obviously not. No,
not Tanya. No, not
yeah,
Dan.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, no,
no, no.
But the other thing about this, I mean, it's kind of what we've become today. And as much as I can sit here and say, they shouldn't have done it. Damn, it was entertaining.
It was pretty funny. Yes.
It got eyeballs.
Really was.
Definitely got eyeballs.
Yep.
Yeah. It was damn entertaining.
Well, there you go. I talked about this a little bit the other day, Mark, and I don't need to totally dwell on it because I asked Sherva about it actually when he jumped on from the LA Times after, you know, the judge's decision. And I thought actually the judge gave a very reasoned response.
I thought the judge was great.
I think the judge was a reasonable guy, Mitch Perry. And I think he did a good job. And if the good job is to come to the conclusion that he did, then he came to that conclusion. I'm comfortable.
Well, now we're in an appeals court.
Right.
So we're waiting to hear. I mean, I'm just sitting here looking at the phone. There's been motions filed today.
Yep.
We're waiting to hear when a hearing is going to take place as soon as it could be this afternoon. It's probably going to be tomorrow or Thursday to hear the appeal. You know, clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. It's a two-parter. First part of the appeal, get the emergency motion, get the horse to the track.
Correct,
second
right.
part of it, get the horse into
the
race.
Yep.
Those are the two phases of the appeal, and we shall see. And
let's talk about the second part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because for years, trainers wouldn't bring their horses to Churchill Downs till the Monday before.
Yeah.
I mean, the week up, quite literally. Mm-hmm. That has changed in large part. Horses are here more. We see them.
Well, we know shipping horses is not the same as it used to be.
It is not. That's right. I think getting here early matters.
But
actually.
I also think because they set that deadline now a week out, part of that is Churchill wants to make sure these horses are healthy and sound.
Okay.
And they're going to spend the week making sure.
Okay. That's reasonable, yeah.
I think from a liability perspective.
Well, think about what happened last spring.
Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
A breakdown in the Derby is not what they need.
Right.
Simply put, it's very straightforward.
By the way, and you got that New York Times thing coming on FX on Friday night.
Right.
So what is it called? Broken Horses or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
We know what that's going to be. The New York Times
and
Melissa and those folks. I mean, we know what this documentary is going to be about. So it's going to be one more log on the mainstream fire.
Right.
Well, yeah, you're right. We don't need that. But
the other part, though, is
20 healthy horses does not guarantee it doesn't happen.
That's exactly right. The other part, too, is they've really figured out that people like to watch the morning workouts.
Mm-hmm.
People like those on Facebook. They like them on Twitter. They like to watch those things.
And
if the horses
show,
aren't there, they actually do a very good job. You're right. But if the horses aren't there, they can't have a show.
Oh,
so
they're
building it up. I mean, what do we think? We'll get there. Do they hit $1 billion in bets on Saturday, on Derby Day?
Ooh.
Because I have three-quarters.
What's
three-quarters of a billion is my number, 750.
What's the record?
Like 550?
No.
I think 750 is my number.
That's pretty high, too.
Yeah, billion. That's half again as much. Come on. I mean, no. They
won't
be there.
All right.
No, I'd love to be wrong for the sake of the industry.
Yeah.
And drawing the race a week out.
Yes.
There's the old thing, creates more interest. It also creates more opportunities for scratches to screw up your handicapping.
That is true.
The whole thing about everybody wanting races drawn a week out. Well, then draw them 2 weeks out. Draw them a month out. You know, you can stop.
Draw them now. Why not?
You know? Well, because you're going to get a lot of scratches. And horses,
yeah, you will.
Horses may not be ready, and you got to kind of see. Horses still dictate how the race is going to be run last time I checked. So that's a part of it. But I think for the Derby, to do it a week out, I think is good because you get into the weekend news cycle of sports a weekend early. To do so on a Monday, you're still kind of lost in the shuffle. But to do it on the weekend, you get into that loop, and that's pretty good. I think that's a good idea.
Issel is listening.
Uh-oh.
And he has texted.
Yeah.
But is Scott listening? Because I would like some picks.
I'm glad you just did that. The only text I get, okay? Quote, Mike is the Tuesday morning moron. I don't know what that's about, but congratulations.
I'm just happy that I can call Dan Issel a friend. So
there you go.
And he calls me a moron.
I like it.
My favorite thing is Issel has figured out the loophole, which is if you're Dan Issel, you can do radio for 4 years, talk about how you only drink Budweiser, and then sell bourbon.
Yeah, there it is.
Good job, Dan. High five from me.
How many horses?
Right? I'm sorry, right?
Speaking of the odds, how many horses will we have that have single-digit odds?
Two.
I think three.
You think Forever Young will be as well?
I think Forever Young will be
as well. Get 8-1, 9-1 kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Forever Young's
better. Yeah, now that you mentioned
because you brought the UAE Derby.
But he would be the third. I agree it's the third. That's the third. Yeah.
Yeah, and Fierceness will be the favorite, unless he does something in workouts to get Tell You Not.
Over Sierra Leone?
Yeah, because it's already happened in Vegas with real money.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. 3-1 versus 7-2, basically.
I like Sierra Leone more than I like Fierceness. Oh, just because of the inconsistency.
I got an 18-1 futures ticket on Fierceness during NHC. So.
All right.
There you go.
But I can hedge against it too. So,
man, Rapoli's going to be awesome if he wins Derby 150.
I think he's already here, isn't he?
Oh, he very well could be. But if he wins that race, he is going to be everywhere. He's already everywhere.
Do you have an opinion about him?
I like him. Sherva hates him. I like him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like him.
Why would he say he doesn't like him?
Oh, he. The flashpoint for John is the speech he gave at the Eclipse Awards year to open the show.
Yeah, okay.
He thought it just was over the top. So did I. I liked the over the top.
Yeah,
John
right.
didn't. And I think that's the difference. That's where the rubber meets the road on your opinion on Mike. I appreciate the fact that he's rocking the boat.
Yeah, you and I like that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I also get where people don't. I think Mike gets where people don't. So that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I like him.
Well, there you go.
Thank you for...
I don't know if you're talking about Mike Gandolfo or Mike Rapoli, but...
You just like Mike.
I do.
Be like Mike, kids.
Look in the mirror and say...
There
he
is. Just choose a Mike, whoever it is.
Do you have a favorite part of horse racing?
No, I mean...
Let me ask you another question. What's the...
No.
Not a favorite part.
If someone said, take those three, Fierceness, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young, or take the field, who would you take?
Well, there actually is a bet. There actually is a bet at Circa in Las Vegas to take Fierceness in Sierra Leone or the field.
Okay.
And I got it's almost even money on either side. I think I think it's plus 105 to take Fierceness in Sierra Leone. So that's you're not laying much to get the field in that case.
How many years is
was
that
Maximum Security
bet?
3-1? Is that the last one to go 3-1 in 2019?
What was 20 was 20 would have been
Authentic.
Tis Law was the favorite and was odds on.
That's right. Never mind.
4-5.
Right. Yep.
Yeah,
that's
he was 4-5.
Right.
But that you count that because it was September, and you already had a horse. Horses had already run a mile.
They'd run
a
quarter. Yep. Yeah. Right. Yep. They'd done the one turner.
But I think you may be right. I'm off the top of my head.
Are you? Look, Belmont at Saratoga the next 2 years. I know for you that is asterisk material.
Absolutely, it's a mile and a quarter. Been there, done that for less money, by the way.
How awesome is the Belmont field going to be, though?
It depends. Will we have a live Triple Crown chance in the field? That could water it down. I don't think we will. I think Baffert's going to win the Preakness with either Muth or Imagination. He's sending both, he says.
Yes, he said that. Yep.
So I think he wins that. And
who's the better horse of those two? It's Muth, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You think Muth is better than the three
Nisos,
we mentioned?
I think Nisos Healthy is better than both.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think Muth is, yeah.
Better than Sierra Leone and better than Fierceness?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Remember when I said at the beginning of the segment we were going to talk about that NBA call?
Yeah, well, we went right into horse racing.
Yeah, straight into horse racing. Thanks, Mark.
I plug my can I plug my podcast?
Plug whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a podcast?
Yeah, I have a... Does anyone have a podcast? It's so rare. It's like walking into a bookstore.
He's a white dude, of course.
Yes, we all have podcasts.
White dude
I have several.
Podcasts, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. How many are you on?
The Ron Flatter Racing Pod every Friday.
That's
HorseRacingNation.com or wherever you find podcasts. And otherwise, I write a column at HorseRacingNation.com.
Yes,
I write stories at HorseRacingNation.com. I write memos at HorseRacingNation.com. So, yeah.
This is the time of year to get in, folks. And Ron does a great job. He has been... A turf rider. You saw Citation in person. What was that like?
Well, I was sitting. I was sitting next to Grantland Rice. Granny, you gotta call the horses as they come out of the walk up start. I mean, come on, Granny.
What kind of odds could you have gotten for Grantland Rice?
You know
reference?
What I? Oh, okay. Guys, you'll appreciate this. Okay, 1947. Clem McCarthy was like he was the god of horse race calling back then. He was like he's like Larry Colmus is now.
Sure.
Grantland Rice miscalled the Preakness in 1947.
Yes,
he had the wrong horse. I've been looking for that recording for decades. I got it the other day.
Ooh.
I got it the other day. I'm going to play that back on the podcast Preakness Week. Yeah.
All right, so we'll go to break here. I am going to pub some stuff that Mike
bored.
And I...
He was bored. It's 80-year-old stuff. He doesn't...
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm very fascinated by that, but you brought
rat's
up...
Rat's ass. The horse's name is Rat's Ass, Mike.
Sitting next to a rat's ass, my name's Louis Rabeau. On Thursday, we will do our annual Derby Draft, one of our most popular episodes of the year, welcoming in this year the track announcer at Churchill Downs. That's why I brought it up, Travis Stone.
You said would never come back on the show, by the way.
I did say that. I was very wrong. Immediately replied to my text yesterday, so that was obviously a very wrong assumption there. Caitlin Free, who will be on the track feed, will join us as well. And then Steve Kornacki from NBC will be our third guest picker alongside me. Mike will host our coverage there, so we will do that 4 o'clock on Thursday
special
live.
Special time.
I already apologized to James Strebel. I'm using this moment to apologize to you for doing something during your show. So there you go. I try to do those things after 6 o'clock for for my buddies.
No apology.
Kornacki did our show in Fallon in the same week a couple months ago.
And then did Ron Flatter. So he graduated from Fallon to us to Ron Flatter.
That's what I mean.
Talk about like Mark Pope doing the progression.
Did I double over in laughter and roll my chair back toward the back of the set with every single chuckle that was out there like maybe one of those hosts would have?
Well, Jimmy is the Utah Valley. We're the BYU, and you're the UK of podcasts.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. There you go.
Letterman. Letterman would be UCLA in the 70s, right?
Mark Pope's wife used to work for David Letterman, so there you go.
Wow.
It all comes full circle.
Wow. Full circle. More full circle talk. We do it next.
Paul, you got some music for this?
Here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
Bow, bow, bow,
you didn't sing the full lyric there.
Where's
come
the Tom
on,
Petty
come on,
back?
There.
Tom Petty.
You missed the dirty part of the lyric, Louis.
Oh,
come
man,
on.
Welcome back to Rabeau & Co. Here we are out of J. Shepherd Cigars, 1429 Bardstown Road. Tons of events next week, but get in here, mention ESPN, mention me, mention Mike, anybody down at the station, you will get a Casa Pastor cigar included with your purchase or with your free shipping. J. Shepherd, when he says he will bring it to your house, he is not exaggerating. These are real things, real concierge service here at J. Shepherd Cigars. He'll find that flavor profile for you, get you all set up, but it is time for our weekly Canes read. I don't think Rod knows what this is.
The Masters.
Oh, I have heard this. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Hello, friends. If you're thinking about lunch, just hot, fresh, hand battered, delicious chicken, that slathery cane sauce, that delicious Texas toast, crinkle cut fry. Maybe you want to try a chicken strip sandwich. Are you getting ready for Derby? Check them out at RaisingCane's.com. Order ahead. Be the star of your Derby party. Multiple area locations. They even have an app. Raising Cane's, one love.
All right, back at it. Zach, do you have that play call from the end of the Nuggets-Lakers rally? By the way, did not take the payout last night. Parlayed the three home teams just straight up. Not against the spread, just straight up.
Money line.
Just straight up. Got them home on this shot. Go ahead, Zach.
Denver with the timeout. We are tied.
I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime. Murray. Makes a move. There's a win.
The Nuggets have won!
That's how you do that. All of it. Oh, the whole setup is perfect. They're not going to call a timeout.
Why would they call timeout?
No, but then Reggie jumps in. They're not calling timeout. I love it. So he predicts the outcome of the game. What's going to happen with this play? He perfectly describes just a move, the shot, he celebrates, and then he's quiet for the crowd. That's how you do it. That's it.
Kevin Harlan,
that's
baby.
That's it, man.
He's an artist.
Well,
cold-blooded three.
He and Reggie, the timing, you mentioned it before the show. The timing.
They work together.
Oh, so good, man.
So they tell the color guy in basketball, say everything you're going to say before the ball gets to midcourt.
Mm.
And then it's time to let the play-by-play guy take over. So Reggie, perfect.
It was.
Except they were at the three-point arc. He knew the clock.
Yep, that's right.
But how about, no, but we also got a double bang from Mike Breen
sure
on that
Knicks
comeback. Bang!
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 He's good too, man. He really is.
Knocks it down.
It's interesting too. You know, we talk about changes in horse racing and schedules and different stuff. The turnover of announcers. We're in a new age with a bunch of good callers calling, especially the basketball. For some reason, I mean, all the way down to Gus Johnson doing college. We're just in a really good era right now. I think Gus Johnson should call the Belmont Stakes. What says you?
Oh, I said
since Fox has the rights.
When Fox got the rights, the day they got it, I may have written it. that they should have, because at that point I think the Manning cast had already been established, okay, that we should get something like the Manning cast, have the normal call with, who would it be now at Belmont? It's not...
Chris Griffin?
Maybe Chris Griffin now, because...
Embriel
completely retired now, yeah.
So, or is Frank Miramonte, is he calling up at Saratoga for the Belmont?
Yes, but he's still... he would be available. Okay, so... Yeah, anyway. But have a third channel. I mean, you got FS1, FS2.
Understood.
Put Gus on one of them.
Fox Sports Plus or whatever. They got all these outfits. I'm with you. I think they should have
Skip Bayless call one of them.
Have Skip and Sharp and Bayless.
Just tell us which horse is not clutch.
Everyone's a bum.
That's right.
Yep. Hanging out with Mark Ennis.
Actually, for what they're paying him, Tom Brady will probably have to call that, right?
He'll be here, right? We know he'll be here.
Well, he'll be here for the Derby.
He may not be in condition to call it and may make it more interesting. So, yeah.
There you go. Mark Ennis, Mike Gandolfo, Ron Flatter hanging out. 93.9 Horse Racing Happy Hour, and, of course, Horse Racing Nation for all three of those guys hanging out with me. Different parts of my career, but cannot believe I got all three of you in the same space. It's really
Does
great.
Gus Johnson know more about horse racing than Charles Barkley knows about college basketball?
Sure.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's competitive. Yeah.
Yeah, in the conversation, right? Yeah.
LeBron James ripped replay last night, and they have the command center that the NHL has had in Toronto. They have theirs in New York for NBA now for replay. Have we jumped the shark on replay?
No, but LeBron, make your damn open three at the end of the game. Maybe you're not bitching about replay. You know, but now I want to know the context in which he was asked, because maybe somebody brought it up to him and he otherwise would not have, and then that's often how those things come up. So I shouldn't have just jumped.
It's essentially the replay process where they go back and look at, you know, is your foot on the line for a three-pointer?
Right,
this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I equate this to the guys who sit at home and call the PGA about things happening at golf tournaments.
Yeah, although I think
I'm amazed how many golf people defend those dudes.
But I also think now that's been tamped down in the PGA.
They don't let you do that anymore.
They pretty much don't let you do it anymore, or they don't put the number out to that people can find it or whatever.
If you can see it on TV, it's different than what the official in person sees.
Yeah.
And if you're slowing down replays to see if it goes off the fingernail of a guy at a view that you couldn't see as a human, I don't know if I like that.
It's taken too long. It's like the old, did you double touch second base?
Yeah, right.
Ball,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of baseball now,
sure.
You know, I mean, how close are we to the robotic strike zone? We got to get
very close.
You know, I mean, Angel
Do you
Hernandez.
Like it?
How about Homeboy getting thrown out of the game yesterday and we didn't say anything?
Oh, he didn't say anything with
it was
with
the guy in the crowd behind him,
Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone, yeah. The guy in the blue. The guy in the blue, yeah. Hunter Wendelstedt really made a meet.
Well, that happened to Patino. He got a tee that way.
Patino got teed up in the Elite Eight against Florida. He was yelling at Siva for fouling him. He said, why would you foul him? And the referee's like, meh. He's like, I'm talking to you.
Rabbit ears. Yeah, so, look, I think the problem, the one thing you have with the robotic or the whatever you want to call it, strike zone, that's inevitable. You get the ding in the home plate umpire's ear.
I agree.
You still need a home plate umpire or umpires to measure check swings, which are still judgment calls. You can't get a computer, at least at this point, to figure that out.
And place at the plate and these kind of, and foul balls and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
So there are still some judgment calls that come into play. But yeah, we got to get to a uniform strike zone because this is and Angel Hernandez.
Well, he's the easiest one. It's so bad.
And look, the reason he keeps the job is because he sued Major League Baseball when they didn't give him postseason assignments. So they know he's a litigious guy, and that's why he's still there.
Well, and no one has better unions than the Major League players and the umpires there. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, they're so protected. There's no salary cap, any of those sorts of things. I mean, baseball's right. Got a union. It is a union sport more than any of the other sports.
Marvin Miller,
Marvin
Miller was the god, and
baseball's union benefits from the fact that the teams kind of don't care about each other.
Right.
Like in football, those franchises, they know they sink or swim together. But in baseball, it's like, the Yankees, I don't care. I'm fine. I can afford this.
Yeah.
It seems like it. Zach Wilson goes to the Broncos. Does that do anything for you?
My only takeaway
other than
from
we
that,
know that his mom will be in Denver more often than New York. Yeah.
My only takeaway from that is Russell Wilson must be super annoying, right? That they're like, give us Zach Wilson, who the Jets don't like, but we like him more than anyone likes Russell Wilson.
We'll take the other Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's not good.
What are they doing?
I think it's one of those stories that's more exciting in April than it will be in September.
Oh, sure. Yeah. All right, well, let's do some Derby while we've got Ron here.
Derby.
Yesterday we went through five horses. I'm going through random ones, in
Please
the point
don't
structure.
Take anything.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Fierceness won the Florida Derby. The Florida Derby recently ran a very good predictor of success in the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, last year's winner in Mage ran second in the Florida Derby. Lots of other examples coming down on that list as well. Fierceness, top of your board, Mark. Or excuse me, Mark and Lord. Ron Flatter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
And a worthy one, I think.
I'm going to key him, but I'm going to do it in such a way that, you know, you do it where you if you do a ticket where you're going to bet.
Key in a horse racing bet, by the way, means that he's involved in every bet that you play.
So, in other words, I'll put him on top in a trifecta and then do a wheel a couple others underneath, then second with the same wheeled horses, first and third, etc.
That's a very common bet on Derby Day. If you
Saves
have
money.
A yeah, right. And but it allows you if a long shot wins but the best horse finishes second, like last year, Two Phils probably ran the
or
best
Epicenter 2 years ago.
Right, Epicenter 2 years ago. Two Phils did a lot of work last year, ran out of gas at the end, and obviously Mage picks up the pieces. Fierceness user a toss for Mike Andolfo.
Oh, definitely a use. I mean, I think when you look at his performance in the Florida Derby, I think that's a style that can win. That was a race that can win. And a lot of people are knocking it because they're saying the field wasn't that good. And I would say that he dominated anyway, and to me,
106 buyer, or 106 buyer, 106 Brisnet,
yeah, 110 then, buyer, yeah.
And then what you really want to see is like he wasn't afraid to break away from the pack. He was able to run up front. I mean, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was a style.
Styles
that
matter
could win,
for the Derby. That's right.
And it was a speed that could win.
But here's the thing:
there's not a lot of speed in this race, right?
I disagree.
Okay,
I disagree. I think there's enough speed in this race, and we every
is
year
there
we
enough
say,
speed for a closer to win.
Well, yes, because we said that we seem to say this every year lately, that there's not enough speed in the race for a closer to win. Then you get Country House. I get the circumstances. You get Ridge Strike. Okay, because you had a 21 and change out front from a horse that never raced again.
That was the one time we've actually had a
Summer
rabbit.
Summer is tomorrow.
Yeah. Summer is tomorrow
with
that race.
But now, you know, you're going to get that, especially with the attrition we get now. That you could get somebody, you could get
who's the rabbit
to draw
in
into the
one.
Field. At this point, oh man, you could make a case a little bit. You could make a case a little bit for Doorknock.
Okay,
I agree, actually.
Although
Doorknock, full brother, by the way, to Mays, she won the Derby last year.
Yep.
Do
right.
do you say does West Saratoga go out? Does West Saratoga go out? And you know, as I'm scanning down here and looking at my.
Well, you also have you have T.O. Password coming in from Japan. Do you know how he's going to run?
That's true. We don't know.
I mean, we don't know.
Well, there's video, and as I remember, I think he's a mid-pack horse.
He was in the Fuku Ryu,
which is the safe answer if you don't know, and I really don't know. I'm going to go back and look. I'll tell you what. If you think a Japan horse can win, I like the path he's taking more than the path taken by Forever Young. For one thing.
Oh, okay.
UAE Derby, 0-for-19, never better than fifth in the Derby.
Yep.
You know, what's the definition of insanity? Continuing to go for 5 weeks between that race and this race and thinking there's actually something there.
Sure.
But T.O. Password will have gone 6,000 miles to get to Kentucky, where Forever Young had to go 12. I think that means something.
Okay.
I think that means something. And I also think about all the horses we've had come back to America off of trips to Dubai and weren't the same. So why do we suddenly think a horse that's never run in America with a jockey who's never raced at Churchill Downs is going to be any different?
Totally fair question. As far as speed in the race, if we wanted to wrap that up, I do think Track Phantom could be that guy. Because I think Asmussen knows that horse, if he's going to win, is going to have to be out front.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good one. And frankly, you'll get Joel Rosario, who does know this place. He'll try to rate, but look, jockeys are people, too.
And
the Derby catches up with him.
And in seven starts, Track Phantom only failed to be on the lead at the first call twice.
Yeah.
And that was each time by a head.
Okay, there you go. He's going to try to be out front.
You go. There you go. You got Track Phantom. You got Fierceness. You got potentially West Saratoga. And who did I mention? I'm blanking here. But they're going to be there.
Yes.
I think there's enough speed in this race. We had on the podcast last week, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod.
Uh-huh.
We had Mike Gillum on, who won the National Horse Players Championship last month in Las Vegas. He won it playing chalk, but he doesn't play chalk when he gets to big days. And he mentioned, too, he thinks there's enough speed in the race for a horse like Sierra Leone to be able to close into it. And we've had closers suddenly do well in the Kentucky Derby in recent years, where all those years the favorites won, it was because you couldn't get cheap speed in the race.
Right.
And now I think maybe... cheap speed kind of comes in. Maybe is it because the full crop is thinned out? Is it just one of those cycles? Is it whatever it is.
Awarding points down to the fifth place, is that part of it too? So,
No, because I don't think those points ultimately
matter.
Have that much to do with a horse winning race. Rich Strike, yes, yeah. I know, but but I think Rich Strike's win was more of a case of Summers Tomorrow going out in 21.
I totally agree. I say that all the time, but I think I was actually surprised about how that didn't change where the cutoff was for the points to get into the race that much. I thought it was going to have a bigger impact.
Right.
We're still looking like around 40 points.
It's under 40 now with the latest defection with Grandmo the First coming in.
Yeah.
So
he's right at 40. Yep.
Yeah, but the problem I said at the time was that the 50 that's now the value for second place as opposed to 40, well, that's a 25% increase in the value second, and then they downgraded third and fourth. You may remember last year, Kenny McPeak ran, what was the name of the horse that he ran twice in 3 weeks to get third and fourth place points and got in to the Derby. Sun Thunder.
Yep, that's right.
So that they devalued the third and fourth place points, increased the second. I thought that was going to change everything. Didn't change a thing.
50-pointers, deterministic not in the field, catalytic coming in, society man coming in. Either of those do anything for you?
No.
Okay. No, that's fair. No. I don't know, it really is. Society Man coming in off a second place finish. Danny Gargan, of course, training there in the Wood Memorial, and then a Catalytic coming in, second place finisher of the Florida Derby.
Do you buy the Wood Memorial as being a good bellwether for the Derby? Because New York races have been good bellwethers for the Triple Crown Series now recently.
Right. So that we watched that Remsen in December. I've talked about that race a lot. You had three Derby prep winners come out of that race, including Domestic Product wins the Tampa Bay Derby, finished seventh in that Remsen. You had the stretch run between Dornock and Sierra Leone. We know what both of those came back. First off the layoff and won their races, respectively, in Louisiana and in Florida. I do think there's something about the Aqueduct surface this year that's traveling better than in previous years, and I do wonder if that sets up well. I just don't like who won the Wood Memorial this year.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, too.
It's just the horse itself, yes.
I mean,
and I got nothing, obviously, against Bill Mott or whatever.
It becomes eye test. You know, it becomes eye test.
Resilience is that horse, yes.
Now,
I saw him in the Risen Star, and I watched Sierra Leone be way better than him.
Last year, but the Risen Star was in the slop.
I watched the Risen Star, and I watched Sierra Leone be a lot better.
Yeah, my problem with the Risen Star is that it isn't that Sierra Leone needed a sloppy track. Clearly, the Bluegrass showed us that he did not.
Correct.
It's that the sloppy track may have been a bigger hindrance to the also-rans than a fast track could have helped them. And that, to me, was the bigger issue. Sierra Leone proved a lot to me. The whole thing, you know, throwing the temper tantrum before the race, right, floating into the gate.
Yeah.
Okay, that's being explained away in part. The Brown Gaffalione reasoning was that, well, look, when you get to the Derby, yeah, there's going to be eight times more people, but they're not going to be as close to the gate as they were at Keeneland. And I'm like, let's see how that flies, because this is a horse that has shown to have had gait issues. Nothing as pronounced as it was at the Bluegrass. So they're going to have to train the heck out of him. And I'd be curious, too, is he on the starters list? Is he, you know, one of those that they put the red flag on him because of that incident, where he's going to have more gate schooling, whether Chad Brown wants to have him in there or not?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Does that spook you at all about him being in front of 150,000 people?
I'll let you know on the day of the race. But in terms, if for a futures bet, yeah, I'm not as high on Sierra Leone. He can close into a good pace. I just think, as Mike Gillen pointed out on the podcast, the NHC winner, both Fierceness and Sierra Leone may be dependent on the traffic that they're going to be surrounded by.
Yeah.
With both their styles. If Fierceness is chasing a track phantom or something like that, is the traffic going to allow him to get where he wants to be, maybe in clean air, in the three path, et cetera? And Sierra Leone is going to have to negotiate through 19 others.
Yeah.
All right. So how much does what happens the week of Derby week, watching them work out together, how much does that influence your decisions on who you like and who you don't like?
Me, almost none.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I need to hear if Bruno DiGiulio, who does Bruno with the works, if he red flags something, I'm paying attention.
But isn't that really what it is? Isn't it more about red flagging people than it is about?
No, because, well, yes, it's to find a reason not to as opposed to endorse a reason to. And,
right.
And occasionally that does happen. I would say, you know, it certainly did with Forte last year. And if he had gone in the race, I think there was going to be plenty of reason to bet against him because there were questions about him being able to, you know, put one foot in front of the other, literally. But Bruno knows how to look at a horse.
Yes.
I don't.
Right.
I mean, I'll admit, I'll look at a workout and I'll see a good workout. And then he'll say, oh, that. This is another thing. Sierra Leone, if there's a video out there, you watch him in the trench. He paddles with the left front.
Yes, he does.
He paddles with the left front. Now, he's won doing so. This is why he may drift when he is in the stretch. Do you
know who had that? You know who had a similar gait that really bothered me? Oh, my gosh, why am I doing this? Medina Spirit. Mm. He never looked comfortable jogging to me. He never looked comfortable. And then he'd get in races. He was fine. So I don't know. Some of that stuff, and what you're talking about, I'm agreeing with you, by the way. Some of that stuff, my eyeballs don't know what I'm looking at. Yeah. And then I see it, I'm like, man, that doesn't look great. And then someone goes, oh, no, that's fine.
To me, this is like looking at 40 times in the combine at this point.
Right.
And you know, you sit there and go, oh, he fired a bullet. Well, what did he do in his last work and the work before that? There's got to be a context to it. But you hear people go, oh, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Well, I think I heard the horse cough. You know, I mean, you're going to start to hear a lot of BS on the backside over the next week and a half.
But there are horses who don't like the track, I think, then. But when you figure out, like, the ones that just do not take
once in a while, you see a horse that does not look comfortable at Churchill.
Yeah.
It's pretty infrequently, though, man.
Right, it is.
It is. It's pretty infrequently. Yeah. By the way, coming down from our friend Jenny Reese at the HBPA, KYHBPA.com, Reese, Sierra Leone, and the Gate. Chad said on Saturday that he spoke extensively with Scott Jordan, who's a starter, of course, at Churchill Downs.
Mm-hmm.
And he will have at least two sessions in the Gate schooling at Churchill prior to the Derby.
There you go.
So there you go. There's your answer. So we will get him, I'm sure, on tape at some point, and we will be able to follow all of those things. Late for a break here on Rabot & Co. So we will take that now. One more segment, get you into Bobby V at noon here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Listening to Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, back at it. And final segment here on a Tuesday. I've decided to do all my shows here at Jay Shepherd for the foreseeable future. Sitting in a parking lot with Ron Flatter, Mike Gandolfo, and, of course, Mark Ennis hangs out every Tuesday. This is the easiest work Mark's ever done in his life. Just hanging out, beautiful sunny
day.
That's
exactly right.
Cigars. Everyone got a nice box of cigars.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very, very cool. So head out here, 1429 Bardstown Road. I'll be here for about another hour hanging out. I'm going to have my second cigar of the day. Man, I just...
You going to pop open a little bit of hooch afternoon?
Yeah, it's a good idea. But this time of year, man, it just feels like Louisville when we get to this point in April. It just does. I love it, man. This weather... Get ready for the horses to come back on Saturday. I'm excited.
Do you like seasons? I love seasons. My wife and I love
seasons.
Yeah,
I'm a nerd for seasons, too.
We love snow. We love humidity. We love all that, you know, all that stuff that everybody hates.
The change.
Well, you had to live in Vegas for a while. What was that like for you then? I can't imagine. Yeah.
It was awful on so many levels. Yeah. We went from New York, where, you know, I mean, we still miss New York every day.
Sure.
And then we went to Vegas, and it's like, there's no Vegas.
Did you guys live in the city?
Oh, yeah. We were Upper East Side, okay. 70th between 1st and 2nd Avenues.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. No,
how small was that apartment?
Oh, my God. You know, what's the old, like, hey, I had to step outside to change my mind, you know? you know, she was banging on the door at 3 in the morning, banging on the door. I finally had to let her out, you know? Yeah, that's one of those deals.
Oh, man. Well, ahead of Derby and all these things, when you're not watching Derby, what's your sports intake during this time of year? You watching NBA playoffs? Is it Major League Baseball? What is it?
Just refreshing Twitter for the portal. That's all you do, right?
I mean, it really non-stop. Is a sport now, is it not?
Think we were kind of saying this on the show yesterday. This time, just a couple of years ago, you knew 90% of your roster, and what you had were one, maybe two iffy NBA draft guys who can still announce that they're going to come back.
That's right.
And now Louisville has six players. Kentucky has one, two, three. Okay, yeah. Arkansas has three.
Right.
I mean, I guess the one guy.
We're not even close yet.
Yeah.
I know.
Have you heard any good, Mark, have you heard any good rumors as to who's going to go to Louisville and Kentucky that you really think are salient? And is there a follow
Or is there
on
one already?
X, or is there a follow, and is there a follow on X that you trust?
For portal stuff?
Yeah.
Well, it's a tough week for Brandon Marcello, but Joe Tipton does a great job for On3 for the basketball guys. He really does a wonderful job. That is my main guy. But he has ruined my Twitter account. Because
he tags you now, right?
Yes. So whenever there's somebody Louisville related,
15 times.
He tags me. He tags somebody that covers another team that the person picked them over. And, yeah. And then I see all the replies.
Right.
And Washington fans, Kentucky fans, Indiana fans.
And try as you might, mute this conversation.
It does not work. That's exactly
but
right.
And have you seen names that you would say, all right, in the rumor mill who haven't necessarily gotten here, whether here is U of L or to UK yet?
I mean, I was really hoping that it would work out with Trey Townsend from Oakland just to sort of complete the trolling. Like, you get Khalifa, the BYU kid, and if you could get Trey Townsend, too, the guy that beat Kentucky, the guy that didn't want to go with his coach to Kentucky. Like, I was just really hoping, just for the enjoyment of the offseason.
Mike's
the
nodding.
Really
it's all right.
That face. I know that face
just
right
for
there.
The piss off.
Yes.
No, we've all been there.
I'm here for the vibes.
Fans, we get it.
Like I'm all that. About the vibes at this point, for sure. I like how he's doing so far.
Do you have a takeaway, by the way, from Friday from the spring game? Some you and I would have talked about today. You know, you were out there.
I don't think they have a place where they're just bereft, like in any position. I think they're solid. I think the question is, have they done – they need a wide receiver. Like, that's my biggest fear is wide receiver.
You're not the only person to say that.
Yeah. My biggest fear is wide receiver. Everywhere else, I think they're in pretty good shape.
What is – so something I've said, and it's, I think, an old sports cliche, because of the schedule, they could actually be a better team this coming season and not have the record they did last year. Do you see that playing out that way from what you've seen looking around?
Yeah, I can see it being a lot like I think there's a chance they could be a lot like last year, too, where they are a good, really good defensive team and can run the ball well and throw enough. And it's going to drive Jeff crazy if he has to play another year like that because he just does not want to play that way.
Isn't that everybody in football now with the remapping?
With the 12-team, yeah, that's right. Well, the remapping and the 12-team playoff, right? I mean, you know, that really does open up. If you're a Louisville, you're dreaming right now. No question, because you're in the ACC.
Feasible.
It's
absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. By the way, that's a Mark Pope angle that does not get talked about enough. You're talking about winning. You didn't win the SEC regular season title, Cal, the last couple of years. You didn't win the SEC tournament. No coach has ever walked into an SEC that's better than the one Mark Pope's walking into.
That's true.
Like, the ninth best team in the SEC this year is a million times better than 5 years ago.
You have me thinking about something else here, too.
And it's not true of the ACC.
Is BYU still a
Definitely
foot,
not.
Is BYU football still considered basketball. A football school?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. When people think BYU football.
So you're getting a guy who succeeded in basketball at a football school. Doesn't he get a higher
versus Arkansas's
a
baseball
higher
school.
Perception, a better perception based on that? And
I mean, it is. They're giving baseball updates right before Cal's
press
conference.
You're either a football school, you're a basketball school, you're nothing. Honestly.
You just mentioned that Arkansas is nothing. I would agree with that.
Okay, but that's fair.
I mean, South Carolina's that's women's fair. Basketball school.
Yeah, okay.
Or baseball school.
Or, you know, it's like when UConn actually went to a couple bowl games, it was like, well, yeah, but still the football coach ain't being paid what Calhoun and Orama is, right? So that's ultimately where you go. What are the coaches getting paid? That's a big barometer. I think the closest we've seen to a school being able to do both was when Billy Donovan was at Florida and repeated. And that was during the time when the old ball coach was there.
They won both titles. They won titles the same
Michigan
year.
Michigan State went to a CFP and a Final Four within a year.
Not for keeps. Not for keeps the way Florida was.
That's fair.
1 year? No. They you can do it 1 year. Texas did got to a Final Four one year.
Spurrier, what are we doing? Favorite
Spurrier? It was Urban Meyer.
But doesn't that, does that upgrade Pope because he did succeed at a football school?
I don't know how to take what he did at BYU because they have built-in advantages too, right? Like,
I agree.
Specific... The no sex and no alcohol
in the Big 12.
No, but
in the Big 12.
Well, no. But
it's sarcasm.
You like Notre Dame football, and they had a built-in for years. They had a built-in
the academic standard.
Well, no, just Catholic. The best Catholic athletes in the country went to play football at Notre Dame.
Right.
He's saying there's a BYU. You don't have to teach the culture to the kids that show up at BYU.
Right.
You don't have to do that.
No one goes to BYU and finds out like, oh my god, I didn't know it was.
I can't get a tattoo.
Well, they don't know. Maybe Jim McMahon.
I can't wear a headband?
Jim McMahon has pretty bad issues from his head injuries playing football.
Yeah,
but they asked him about Zach Wilson. Did you see that? They're like, what do you think about Zach Wilson? He's like, I've never heard of Zach Wilson. I don't know who that is. I have no idea who he was.
I don't know who that is.
Man.
Oh, my God.
We are out here. Jay Shepherd Cigars. Should mention them one more time. 1429.
The sirens are not for us.
Bardstown,
no, that's my
Road.
Ride. My ride is here. Going
finally picking up Ron Flatter. Oh, man. How about that? But, yeah, we're out here. I'll be out here about another hour hanging out, having another cigar. So if you wanted to come by, 1429 Bardstown Road, across from the giant orange church in the Highlands on Bardstown Road. So there you go. Other things we're looking forward to. What's your travel schedule this year, Ron? Because I know you and I end up in the same place, same time. Mark, Mike and I will be doing a – I'm hoping you'll be there.
Yeah, come with us.
Jimmy Seafood, Preakness Eve in Baltimore. We're doing that. Are you a Saratoga guy during the summer? Will you be out? You know,
no, we got so many people in New York at Saratoga that I would just be like, you know, one more person to screw up the paint job in the guest room. No, I love Saratoga, but we got enough folks there.
There you go.
I will be at the Preakness. I will drive to the Preakness.
Yes, you do.
We did that last year.
Now, I will go to the Belmont only if there's a live Triple Crown chance. Okay. If not, I'm going to Golden Gate Fields for the final closing of that place.
Okay. Oh.
I grew up near there in California, never have been there. Okay. That was the big track near me when I grew up, and I've never been. So the time's running out, and that'll be, you know, the memories of Hollendorfer and Bays will be coming back to bring the spirits alive one more time.
What? I'm sure you read Shervis' piece about Northern California. Was that savable at any point?
Yeah, not in the 2000s.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's what I thought.
You know,
yeah.
And I don't think
that's some prime real estate too.
Oh
well,
my God!
Name a racetrack that isn't in prime real estate.
Churchill Downs,
but
Kentucky Downs,
but if it suddenly became
Ellis.
Open, you don't think there's value there?
Nope.
Oh, I disagree.
Mike's in real estate.
Actually, the fact that the fact that it's there adds value to the neighborhood.
I agree.
So if it was gone, it would not.
But
be good.
Del Mar, Santa Anita. Pimlico wouldn't be, I guess.
It
no.
is not.
Pimlico
no.
and Churchill Downs, definitely.
Even Keeneland's land, I mean, it's not valuable because of what they do. They needed Keeneland there
near the airport.
To be valuable.
Near the airport.
Just like, you know, Hialeah was not valuable.
No, it's not anymore. No, okay. All right, I'll take back everything I said.
Okay.
Right. And it's been scrubbed forever. Well, go ahead, Zach. You can start the music, man. I know Bobby V's needs a solid 13, 14-minute break here between shows. So
thanks,
ahead,
Jay Shepard.
That going. Thank you to Jason. Mark Ennis, Ron Flatter, of course, Mike Gandolfo. Find all of them at Mark Ennis, at Ron Flatter, and at Big Mike Gandolfo on Twitter. I'm Louis Rabeau at Radio Louis. This has been Rabeau & Co. here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Back at it tomorrow. Mike, are you doing the show again?
If you tell me I am.
Okay, we'll talk to Mike tomorrow. We'll do Blow to Your Salami at 11 as well, and we'll get you into the rest of the week. Reminder, next week, 2-hour shows Monday through Thursday. We'll go 3 hours Friday and Saturday. Week from today, Blind Squirrel, 7 o'clock. No cost to get in. Head out there for our Derby seminar. We'd love to see you there. I'm Louis Rabeau. We're back again at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and we hope you are too. Have a great day, everybody.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.